This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
When he was thinking of Liz Cheney getting the boot from her leadership position in the Republican Party, she vows that Donald Trump will not be in the White House again under her watch. The Trump Party, is what Liz Cheney is saying, needs to be defeated. And Republicans need to go in a different direction. But she lost her position as the third-ranking House Republican after she unapologetically argued the party should move past Trump and stop echoing his claim that a fraudulent election cost him his presidency. Other Republicans didn't agree, including Kevin McCarthy, who does wield the power wand, and he made sure that she went down. So she did. In the end, it was obvious after he was caught on a mic saying that he was just tired of the whole distraction. So the House Minority Leader from California, McCarthy, just wrote to Republican members by way of endorsing Cheney's removal and said, if we're to succeed in stopping the radical Democratic agenda from destroying our country, these internal conflicts need to be solved so as to not distract from the efforts of our collective team. Do the Republicans have a good chance of winning control of the House in 2020 in the midterms? They do, and a decent chance of reclaiming a Senate that is divided 50-50. History favors the Republicans because voters often go against the party of the president, if you remember, in midterm elections. That's just our history. And new census data means Republican-controlled legislators in certain states could redraw favorable congressional districts. And that's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen, in these divided states of America. Kate Delaney, hope you're still having a good one, and now we are over the hump and on the other side of the week for most people anyway, although traditional working hours and what people do for a living has radically changed in the era of the pandemic, that's for sure. The other thing that's radically changed is the fact that when you think you can just pull in at the last second, when you're on fumes to get gasoline, think again if you're in the Southeast. The Colonial Pipeline is back up and running, but it's going to take really 3 days for that pipeline to yield, meaning to get it all delivered to these gas stations, especially. There's like 1,200 that are out of gas because people immediately, when they were told don't worry about it, ran to get gasoline. So especially in the Carolinas, they've been hit really hard, and some other places. But it restarted, the pipeline did, at about 5 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday. After that ransomware attack last week forced the entire system offline on Friday night, the company made sure that everybody knew, hey, this is not fully functional immediately. It is going to take some time. So Colonial is going to move as much gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel as is safely possible, and they're going to continue to do so until the markets return to normal. I mean, 45% of what happens on the East Coast, and it's good news, but boy, bad news that it was so easily attacked because it's a critical part of the U.S. petroleum infrastructure. When you think of transporting about 2.5 million barrels a day of gasoline, diesel fuel, heating fuel, jet fuel, 5,500 miles, I mean, that is killer for the East Coast. Jet fuel for airports that include some of our biggest, Atlanta and Baltimore. I mean, this was a swift response, but more has to be done here, and the Department of Energy and the FBI and Department of Homeland Security and Department of Defense, they all got involved in this. That's what they should have done. But when you think Wednesday afternoon, almost 70%, think of that number for a second, 70% of gas stations in North Carolina out of gas. South Carolina, Georgia, 45% of stations dry. 49% of stations across Virginia out. And then the price went higher. The national average for a gallon, $3 on Wednesday for the first time since 2014. If our eyes aren't open to cyber attacks, ransomware, and all of that in between, then I don't know what we're doing. Because big oil and electric grids, we talk about the power grid, that has to be of concern when we saw what happened in Texas with the weather, when they were caught off guard. And more than weather, cyber attacks, possibilities of so many other things that could happen, you got to be on the ball with this stuff, because it doesn't cripple a few people, it cripples a lot of people, and it opens us up to being that much more vulnerable. I mean, that much more vulnerable. Scary thinking about that. Ooh, scary, scary, scary. So we had the pipeline thing and dealing with the FDA saying thumbs up to 12 to 15-year-olds. It just becomes official. We've already talked about this, the Pfizer vax. There's incentives that are being offered. 154 million people have been vaccinated. That's 55% of the eligible population, now 12 and older, because some are getting vaccines, and 46.4% of the total population. That's where we're at this point. Cases have dramatically dropped down. Deaths have dramatically dropped down when it comes to COVID-19. Feels like Americans are trying to find their footing again in some cases. Others say they never lost it. But there is a different feel, a different vibe in my neighborhood, your neighborhood, and I think all the spots in between, be it in a rural area or a suburban area or a city, things feel as though they are opening up. I mean, you look at California, and in just a couple of days, all the mask regulations are out, and also some of the tight regulations on where people could eat out or in, all of that is being lifted. So you know when they do that on the left coast, you know, in California, because they really had clamped down a couple of times. That's why Gavin Newsom finds himself in the recall position for his governor's seat. Then you know things have really, really, really changed. We can count coming up.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
We have them, that's for sure. So the president is restarting construction work on a segment of the Trump border wall. So how about that? Quietly, with everything else that's going on, this might have been mixed, but it definitely is happening. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has confirmed that construction on a 13.4-mile stretch of the border wall in the Rio Grande Valley does resume after pressure from local residents and politicians. The crisis is getting worse. Last month, there was a 20-year high of 178,622 illegal border crossings. The U.S. is on track to see 2 million illegal folks on the southern border this year. So that's sad. And we saw the sad story of the young girls who were just left and were crawling across the border, no kidding, and a rancher saw them and his wife, thank goodness, because the temperatures were through the roof, and rescued them and got them, got them water, etc., because there was a group of five of them, and they were very young. You know, when you have a 2-year-old, a 7-year-old, you got to think, wow, what is going on? How does this happen? And how does it happen is, I think, desperation, trying to cross, get kids across, get them away from drug cartels, get them away from some horrific things that are happening. And it's really about to break wide open at the border. That's absolutely no No joke. It is seriously tense, seriously overcrowded, and a few other things in trying to process people as fast as they can that makes it so tough for the system to be able to handle how many people they're trying to process. All right, how about this? Indiana is going to get $700 million from opioid settlements, state and federal grants as well. And this is from lawsuits against the manufacturers and distributors of opioids. They get that grant money, too, in their war against the opioid addiction. So $45 million from the federal government earmarked for them, $45 million to $60 million from the American Rescue Plan Act passed in the spring, $100 million from the state of Indiana. That was in the budget bill that was passed last month, $50 million and fiscal 2022, and another $50 million in fiscal 2023. There are a lot of states struggling with this. The Indiana Attorney General's office reviewed all the lawsuits the state filed, starting with its suit against Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, that was filed in 2018, followed by a second suit the state filed against the Sackler family, who owns Purdue Pharma, in May of 2019, both suits had to be stopped when Purdue Pharma filed for bankruptcy protection. There is a great show on Big Pharma that's running right now on HBO. I don't know if it's HBO Max, I guess it is. And I watched it. There was two parts. It's very long, but really frightening and really just sad. It's called The Crime of the Century. Alex Gibney is the one who directed this, and he takes on Big Pharma, basically. And when you watch this, I think there's so much that we didn't maybe realize that was happening. Perhaps some people listening to this did. We knew there was a problem and there was a crisis, but things that happened behind the scenes and the political maneuverings, which, by the way, were Democrats and Republicans, is, I don't know, that's shocking. It's just sad, is what it is. Very, very sad. And hearing the sad cries of the parents who are stunned when their children die from overdoses because of these, pills that they were taking and buying, and they had no awareness of this, or they did and they couldn't do anything to really get them off of him or stop them, and sadly it ended in a terrible, terrible way. But it's definitely worth checking out, this documentary. All right, to me, this is the probably best incentive if you're going to throw out an incentive to get vaccinated. In Ohio, five people will get $1 million. Somebody will win, five different people will win $1 million. That's part of the incentive. If you've been vaccinated, you are in a drawing. You can be in a drawing. More details are coming out for this big Ohio giveaway. And trying to get people to get shots, this is what they decided to do in Ohio. If they could afford it, then, DeWine says, why are we not trying to encourage parents to have their adolescents vaccinated, and why are we not trying to encourage everybody to get vaccinated? Well, so getting vaccinated could make you a millionaire. I guess you can legitimately say that. Some people are going to get lucky somehow because of all of this. The COVID, because of what's happening with COVID, there still is social distancing. There are still conventions and gatherings where they're trying to figure out, is it safe? When can people really come back? And it varies from state to state, city to city. And then off of our shores, it also varies. The U.S. has more than 32.7 million confirmed coronavirus cases and 583,000 deaths. These are numbers from Johns Hopkins University, from their data. Globally, 160 million cases and 3.32 million deaths. And more than 337 vaccine doses have been distributed in the U.S. More than 264 million have been administered. So you get the numbers there. A popular destination in Mexico. In fact, a lot of Americans wanted to go there. Cancun. They're battling what they're calling a highly concerning surge in infections, despite improvements across most of Mexico. COVID is exploding across most of Asia. So there are big warnings about being careful in thinking you can go back to Asia. Here's an idea of what can happen in different parts of the world. The Nepal Mountaineering Association, which is big, is urging climbers ascending Mount Everest to bring back their empty oxygen bottles so they can be refilled and used in hospitals desperately in need of oxygen for coronavirus patients. Because normally that wouldn't happen, but they're asking, you know, for people to do that. And in India, it's just a massive disaster. Every day, no hospital beds, out of oxygen, people dying, numbers surging, just funeral pyres all over the place where they have no choice, and that's what you see deep into the night. You know, sometimes when you get on, have you ever been on a balcony where it seems like it's pretty secure, but all of a sudden you look around and there's it seems like there's, like, too many people on the balcony. We've heard of balconies collapsing. But a Malibu balcony collapsed on Saturday, sending people 15 feet down to the rocks and sand below. So the Los Angeles Fire Department responded shortly after 5 o'clock. 9 people were injured. This happened over the weekend on Saturday. 4 were transported to the hospital. At least none of the injuries were critical. It could have been worse because that area, you've got jagged rocks below. And think of falling, all, you know, having that balcony collapse. There was a birthday party. The home was rented out over the weekend. Only 6 people were supposed to be at the home, but there were about 30 people. And I think they were all on the balcony. So there was a crack, and then, boom, they fell. But it is lucky for those folks that it wasn't, you know, that it wasn't worse, because the way it looked a lot worse in seeing the moment that it crumbled, because a nearby camera captured that moment. Ooh, awful. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next. Was I just
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A CDC panel has given its recommendation to the Pfizer COVID vaccine to be used for 12 to 15-year-olds, with the agency's director adding her approval. The move allows the shot to be administered to teenagers 12 and up as early as Thursday. after the ruling President Biden urged parents to get their kids vaccinated against COVID.
I encourage each of them and their parents to get their vaccination shots right away. And here's why. We know that kids at this age, 12 and above, are at risk from COVID-19. About 3 million COVID-19 cases have been reported in kids under 17 years of age. And teenagers can spread it to their friends, to their siblings, to their parents, and to their grandparents. Now, that vaccine is authorized for ages 12 and up, and I encourage their parents to make sure they get the shot.
You're listening to USA Radio News. President Biden met with the top congressional leaders of both parties on Wednesday to discuss his infrastructure bill. The president has put forth a more than $2 trillion package, with Republicans countering with a smaller bill that focuses on core infrastructure. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell tells Fox News that while he may disagree with the White House's definition of infrastructure, he feels there is still room for a bipartisan bill.
I think the amount ought to be defined by the scope. And we may have some differences about how you define infrastructure. I mean, we think traditional infrastructure, roads, bridges, ports, water lines, broadband, are things we can agree on. To the extent that they start getting off in rather exotic definitions of what amounts to infrastructure, we could have a problem. But I think the takeaway from the meeting, Brett, is that I think both sides would like to get an outcome.
This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Germany to speak with Gary Bateman. He's written a book called Reflections in the Mirror, a literary collection of selected poetry, 2014 to 2019. You know what's so interesting? We were talking off the air, and he's going to have some shout-outs to some people that are also involved with his work, but 1,000 poems? And reading his book, it's a kind of book that you can pick up at any point, I think, at any moment during the day. So that's what I love about his book, about this poetry. And it's so big. There's so many things that he talks about, and there's so many different types of poetry that are in this as well. So he's not a one-trick pony, and that's not a surprise, because I could talk all day about his crazy career, his interesting career, 2 major careers in the military, speaks like 5 languages. Absolutely, you know, so fascinating. Gary, thanks for coming on.
Sure. Glad to be here.
So first of all, before we dive into the book and the poetry, just kind of a synopsis of, wow, 5 languages. When you jumped into the military career that you had and you've got those degrees, et cetera, did you think it would take you to the places that it took you?
Well, no. I mean, it's like most people in high school, I did very well and then studied German. I had Spanish and then picked those up again in, when I was, of course, Latin. But I picked all that stuff up and carried it over to the university time and still studied. I actually took more Spanish courses then. And then later, after I entered the military, I had a chance to go off and learn Russian for 2 years at a famous institute that's out in California. Any person that's served in the military knows what that institute is, the Defense Language Institute. But then from there, I had a chance to branch out and had a chance to work overseas in Europe. My German became very, very good at that point. And then again, picked up some additional training. And that's kind of my background. I even had some time in Italy, though, too. And Spanish helped me, but not entirely, because Italian's still different. So, yeah, that's kind of the thing. And again, I've always had that lifelong interest, and that has carried over into my writing. And it's helped me to go places with my writing that some people that don't have that background would probably have trouble with.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you're in all kinds of great poet societies and groups, etc. And I said you've written 1,000 poems, and I'm sure many more to come. So how do you pull? And you have another book that's already out too, Conversations with My Muse. And so this one, Reflections in the Mirror. How did you decide what you were going to put in this book? How did you pull apart and lay out the poetry?
Well, it actually started with my first book because I had that listing of poems, and then I had a second part of or second chapter. They called them parts, but I prefer for it like being a chapter. And it was a witch's tale that I did on the evil dark witch from the Harz, Rosalia, the evil dark witch from the Harz Mountains. Okay, and that was more of like a short story type or narrative type poem. But that was where I was getting my feet wet, learning like what do I want to do? Because I have a couple of those other narrative type poems that appear in this bigger book, the second book. But I used that as kind of a guide point. I mean, that was where I actually started doing it. And I had some people ask me that thing though too about the writing. And the deal is that like for someone like me, or for anybody that does this, they always wonder, well, how do you do it? Well, you have to sit down and plan and think about what you're going to do, but you have to really want to do it. You have to really want to write, because I've had some times when I was writing, for example, and just be very brief on this, I would get stuck on something. I'd come back to it and I wouldn't let it alone until the words came to me. And it just takes patience. Sometimes the words flow out, and then sometimes, well, you got to give it a chance.
Yes, so well said. And I wanted to make sure that we had a chance to hear some of your poetry, because I think it's personal and I think it's interesting, and especially the two that you pulled out for me. One of them is The Present. The other one is Radiance of Our Love So True. Would you do those for us? Honor for everybody that's listening in the United States and listening, of course, in other parts of the world?
Okay. I just have to find them here. Let's see. That was
102 and 103.
Oh, okay. You're up on me there. It's good to have those numbers. The problem is this thing's like a 102 and 103. Okay. Well, then, okay. There was did you want to hear The Present too or not?
Let's hear The Present.
Okay. The Present. Now, again, to preface this, I wrote, as I mentioned to you before, this is actually was done in a trio with one that I did. I have The Present, The Past, The Future, The Never Will, The Might Have Been, that sort of thing, all conditional type of poems. Okay, we'll do The Present first. This is a heroic couplet that is set in iambic pentameter. And again, the couplets consist of each stanza or two lines of poetry. And in this one, there is seven couplets. So here we go. This is The Present. A fleeting moment in eternal time, and ever progressive in real time. One's now moment, then in history past, now in motion moving to future fast. My words become history when I write. No need to worry, I'll make them right. As the past is present progressive, then the past then follows, now so possessive. The night stars are passed in a mere eye blink, their images not part of present sync. A constant portent of events to come, as we each live now in what will become. Give me your hand, for this moment is it. Let's seize now this moment and live in it. So that's the present. And I wrote that back on right after Christmas Day, December 26, 2014.
Wow. Bravo. That was well done. And it really can take you to different places, I think. And then the other, and of course, there's so many, as you said, it's just a tomb of wonderful poems that you can pick up at any moment. But one that you also did for me that I thought was great because, you know, poetry is about love and is about meeting and is about how you feel. And you know that. And you've got a great one, Radiance of Our Love, So True.
Okay. And here it is. I'll cover it then. And this one was written in on December 29th, 2014. And it is in the format of a Shakespearean sonnet, okay? So the radiance of our love, so true. The radiance of our love is so true. From the first time we met, my dearest one, I saw your eyes, felt your joy, and I knew that no one else but you could be the one. Our first embrace was so warm and intense, and we sensed everything felt nice and right. And we kissed deeply, feeling no pretense, as we strolled on that wondrous starlit night. Our hearts and souls have melded now as one, with our emotions afire, my dearest. Our love and life's journey has now begun, and we must keep us ever so nearest. We have radiance in our love so true, and pray to God for his divine love too. And that's the radiance of our love, so true.
Wow. Well done. So interesting, the directions that your poetry takes us. And you said to me, you know, there's some collaboration here. So I wanted to give you a chance to give a couple of quick shout outs to some of the people that you've worked with. And there are some names that are up and comers or names that I think people in poetry circles know.
Sure. Well, these are people I care. I'll just read this because it's a short section for the acknowledgments. I write here a special thanks to my great talented fellow poets and colleagues who read written some co-written poems. Again, most of the poetry is done by me solely, but these are people that I've worked with over the years. But okay, special thanks to my great talented fellow poets and colleagues, Annalise Andresen, Ingrid Krukenberg Bateman, my wife, Donna Lohman, Michael Clark, and Liam McDade for their collegial efforts on the various co-authored poems we have worked on together that are now part of this book. Okay.
Wow. What do you hope people take away from reading any of your poems, but especially picking up Reflections in the Mirror, a literary collection of selected poetry from 2014 to 2019?
Well, okay. And this is one thing that I have in an introduction. I use the classical old Latin term, the exordium, which is there are some writers that do that, but it's introduction. And I talk about that very subject about reflection and reflections in the mirror. And I'll give you a couple things here. On the second paragraph, I point out that poetry as a true expressive art, it is, speaks to a greater and all encompassing spirit, which represents a profound sense of enlightenment for mankind and contributes to our shared common humanity. Poetry should leave the reader with a sense of fascination and wonder. It should serve as a source and an intellectual repertoire for a deeper personal inner reflection. And I could go on and on, but there is one part I want to point out. And this thing I'm going to quote is at the very end of this introduction, the exordium. And it's part of a poem that I wrote that's in the book called Reflections in the Mirror, the same title as the book. And this is what I wrote. These are actually my words. A mirror may reflect much more than any mortal shall ever really see, whilst revealing timely images of the past, present, and future yet to be.
Wow. Perfect place to end this. Reflections in the Mirror, a literary collection of selected poetry, 2014 to 2019. You will thoroughly enjoy this. Gary Bateman, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kate. Appreciate the time and opportunity to talk to you about my book.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly, right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Paul joins us now, and he's written a book called Climate Change. And we talk a lot about climate change. And this current administration, this supposedly is one of the cornerstones of what President Joe Biden says is his agenda in moving forward. But what is climate change? What's happening with polar ice caps and that are melting and glaciers that are disappearing? And what's going on with the average temperatures across the globe? Dr. Odekal, thank you so much for coming on. So let's talk about your book, Climate Change. Is it really caused by carbon dioxide? That's the thrust of it. So what led you in this direction?
Yeah, well, professionally, I was working, when I wrote this book, I was working with one of the government agencies here in British Columbia. And I was exposed to a lot of discussion on climate change. And personally, based on my experience and education, I looked at the research which was done, and I appreciate there was a lot of scientists who were involved in formulating the theory that climate change is caused by carbon dioxide. But I thought maybe they were oversimplifying the problem, because carbon dioxide constitutes a very small proportion of the atmosphere. I think it is less than 1%. And there are other gases in the atmosphere which constitute more than 1%. say, for water vapor, it may constitute anywhere from 10 to 20% of the atmosphere, depending on the day and depending on the amount of evaporation in the air. So I reached the conclusion that maybe carbon dioxide is not really the real cause of global warming. And so I did a lot of investigation and research on the internet, and based on my past information, knowledge on physics, chemistry, and geography, I reached an uncomfortable conclusion that maybe this oversimplification is going to mislead decision makers on focusing on one thing, which is carbon dioxide, and neglecting other things which might be more important. So that's how the whole process evolved.
So what are the other things that are more important that should be the focus if carbon dioxide isn't the biggest issue?
No, there are other gases like methane, but the key gas which is obviously related to temperature changes is really water vapor. And water vapor is a very big component of the atmosphere. The other thing with the water vapor is that it has a unique behavior. It is lighter than air, so it rises to the top, to the highest point in the atmosphere. In a column of air, if you put water vapor in the air, it will go straight up to the top. While carbon dioxide, on the other hand, is heavy and it will just sink to the bottom. And this is, again, a well-known physics principle that water vapor always will go to the top because it behaves almost like hydrogen, which is quite light. So when water vapor is introduced into the air, it rises and then it moves very quickly from one side of the wherever it is introduced to another part of the atmosphere where it didn't exist. It can move across, for instance, water vapor can move from Africa to North America within a period of 24 hours. It is that fast. It moves that fast.
Mm.
It is very easily picked up by the winds in the upper atmosphere and moves very quickly. So when you look at, again, the impact of global warming, areas which are sometimes very distant and remote tend to be affected, like the North Pole or the South Pole. And you'd wonder, if it is carbon dioxide, the effect wouldn't be that much more dramatic like as it is. Because carbon dioxide tends to stay in localized areas. It is heavy. And if it is released in a valley bottom, it will probably stay there for days without moving anywhere because it is a heavy gas. It drops to the ground very quickly. There are many physics tests which show this. If you do it in a lab, if you have a candle at the bottom of a jar and you drop carbon dioxide over that jar, the candle at the bottom will go out because carbon dioxide goes there and displaces all the air. So it is a heavy gas. It is not very mobile.
Oh, that's a good thing to try. I just scribbled that down when you said that. We're speaking to Dr. Sam Otakol, and we're talking about his book on climate change. And, you know, you have a degree in forestry, and it made me think about our forest areas. What's the significance there?
Yeah, the significance, and in the forestry, you see that this expression of carbon dioxide, because carbon dioxide is very key to creating organic matter. And trees, for instance, grow best in valley bottoms because the concentration of carbon dioxide is higher, and also liquid water is more in the valley bottoms than it is at the upper slopes. So where the elements which promote growth are located, that's where most of the growth happens. And it happens that carbon dioxide is very plentiful in the valley bottoms, so it promotes growth much more easily there.
What do you hope? Let me interrupt for a sec. What do you hope people take away from reading climate change? Is it really caused by carbon dioxide? Because we're talking so much about carbon dioxide, because that's where so much of the focus is. What do you hope people take away from this?
I think the takeaway point is that the focusing on fuel on carbon dioxide is going to provide misleading solutions. People will try and solve the carbon dioxide problem, and yet the global warming problem might not be solved because there are other more important factors which are affecting the problem. So the key is that people should be open-minded, and they should look at all other factors and judge them based on logic, not just emotional reaction to correlation studies, which are misleading. Correlation studies are misleading because when carbon dioxide is released, water vapor is also released. So if you are looking at a correlation between a temperature increase and carbon dioxide increase, you may be misled to think that because there is this trend of increasing temperature with increasing carbon dioxide, that carbon dioxide is the sole cause of the problem. But because carbon dioxide is so closely related to water vapor, you have to either discount the effect of the water vapor or look at also the correlation between fluctuations in water vapor and temperature as well.
Yeah. Again, I like that it's like what you say, look at the alternatives, look at the other things that are out there in the wide range of causes and explore them. Yeah.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
That's where you'll come up with a more comprehensive solution to the problem rather than focusing on this one factor, which if we spend the next 20, 30 years just focusing on the carbon dioxide and we find we are not making an impact on global warming, then what? What do we do?
Right. By focusing in so much, and you're right that so much of the focus mostly has been there, and it's so political, and there's so many hot opinions about climate change and people who don't think there's climate change and people who think, well, yeah, there's some things we could do, and it really is a hot button issue, and you look at things that are happening, and it and squarely it is at all of our feet to decide for all of us as to what we're seeing. And you know, this conversation about carbon dioxide, I agree with you. It's just so tiny that you need to expand where that thought is, really, on looking at climate change. Dr. Sam Odekal, thank you so much. You can get the book on Amazon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.